Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 and FY26 earnings conference call of Unimech Aerospace and Manufacturing Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Prasheel Gandhi from Anand Rathi Shares and Stock Brokers Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Steve. Good morning, everyone. We welcome you all to Q3 FY26 earnings conference call for Unimech Aerospace. We have with us Mr. Anil Kumar Puttan, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Rajnikant Balaraman, Whole-time Director, Mr. Ramkrishna Kamboja, Whole-time Director and CFO, Mr. Mani Puttan, Whole-time Director, Mr. Pritam HV, Whole-time Director, and Mr. Akash Jaiswal, AGM, Investor Relations. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Anil for his opening comments. Over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Unimech Aerospace and Manufacturing Limited's Q3 FY26 earnings call. Thank you for joining us today. Let me begin by briefly addressing the quarter gone by for Q3 FY26. Revenues stood at rupees 34 crore, lower than our historical run rate, and profitability was slightly above break-even. This was largely on account of temporary slowdown in the order pickup in our aero tooling segment, driven by exceptionally high U.S. tariffs during the quarter and seasonal effects in December. However, I am pleased to share that the external movement, external environment sentiment, has meaningfully improved since the positive macro development with tariff reduction, which happened earlier this month, with the tariffs reducing to 18% from 50% effectively immediately. Importantly, India is now among the most favorably tariffed manufacturing nations for the U.S. within South and Southeast Asia. This development significantly improves customer economics, encourages rebuilding of inventory at customer warehouses, and restores confidence in order flows. We believe this marks a clear turning point, and we expect order normalization and better traction from here on. As we have consistently highlighted, the softness witnessed in the business was never structural. The elevated tariffs, which had temporarily pushed customers to move from inventory-led procurement to essential dropshipment-only ordering and deferring non-urgent tools, these constraints are easing, and discussions with customers indicate a more constructive ordering environment ahead. Most importantly, I would want to highlight we will continue to remain deeply embedded within the customer ecosystem, supported by strong technical credentials, high switching costs, and long qualification cycles. These fundamentals continue to provide long-term revenue visibility and stability for us in the business. Our efforts to place strategic mitigants over the last several months are also strongly progressing. We have accelerated multiple initiatives to structurally de-risk the business and position Unimech strongly for the next growth phase. The free trade warehousing zone, as indicated during the previous earnings call, we continue to advance the FTWZ establishment. The facility setup is largely complete, and we are currently awaiting certain regulatory approvals. We are pursuing these actively and expect to conclude the approval process subject to regulatory timelines during this quarter. Once FTWZ is operational, this will allow our customers to build and maintain duty-free inventories of aero engine and airframe tools, ensure regular and predictable order flows, and reduce lead times and logistics friction. For Unimech's perspective, this will support our aero tooling revenues from any future tariff volatility, even as we benefit from the recently reduced tariff regime and makes us an even more critical strategic partner. Strengthening our order book. While de-risking the business, we have also made solid progress in order intake. Aero tooling business, ground support equipment in the aero tooling business, we have ground support equipment orders worth of 35 crore. Nuclear business, we have won a couple of orders amounting to about 68 crore. As of February 12, 2026, The order book stands at 210 crore, which is a record quarter intake, double from our past order bookings. This gives us a good visibility as execution accelerates. International expansion, Saudi Arabia. As part of our global footprint strategy, we have entered a strategic alliance in form of joint venture with the Yusuf bin Ahmad Kanu Group, one of the oldest and most respected diversified family-owned business conglomerates in the Middle East. With a strong legacy spanning over 135 years, they operate across multiple sectors including shipping and logistics, travel and leisure, industrial and energy solutions, machinery, chemicals, oil and gas services, power and water, and real estate. This will be subsidiary for Unimec as we have established controlling rights in the JV. I believe you would have taken a note of our exchange announcement last month. Happy to indicate we are progressing steadily on the JV to be positioned in Dammam, Saudi Arabia, with an initial focus on oil and gas components, followed by gradual expansion into utilities, energy and aerospace. This initiative aligns strongly with Saudi Vision 2030, localization mandates, rising regional demand for precision manufacturing. We believe this platform can unlock meaningful growth over the next 3 to 5 years while expanding Unimec's addressable market beyond India. Speaking about business performance, Aero Tooling, Q3 was impacted as we could not ship many orders due to elevated tariffs and year-end holiday slowdown. Our inventory buildup remained strong at the end of the quarter three, which positions us well for the monetization and improved revenues in this quarter. With tariffs now favorable and FTWZ progressing, we expect a gradual and sustained improvement in order flows as evidenced in the February so far. We have received orders worth ₹4.2 million just in the first week of February from our customers. Precision components and assemblies. Our focus continues to build our offerings serving a variety of industries in this precision segment. Not only limited to aerospace, we continue to progress steadily in the segment and as typical for this segment given the long qualification cycles. We will need some patient effort to develop this vertical. However, encouraging indications include increased FAI requests. Post completion of FAIs in the previous quarters, we have received additional FAI requests for 24 new parts. Higher FAI conversions for semiconductors OEMs, we have already received production orders, though small currently will be meaningful in the next 2 years. For the production order received, we have a 52 weeks visibility also. Additionally, in FY27, we will see a lot many qualifications activities happening. Rising RFQ complexity, advancing long-term agreements, discussions with Tier 1s and OEMs. In the nuclear segment, we have already secured 68 crore worth of orders, with some more order awards expected towards this fiscal year end. Our bidding activity continues across various nuclear and other programs offered by NPCIL, NTPC and NSC. Optimistically, with the new Shanti Bill being introduced, private sector participation will improve sustainability. Our presence in this segment, we will see healthy growth in the years to come. Business approach for the next quarter. Despite the headwinds encountered during the most of FY26 and considering the recent geopolitical developments announced earlier this month, we continue to work toward exceeding last financial year's revenue, addressing logistics and shipment complexities and subject to FTWZ operationalization. Our operational readiness remains strong. As of end of February, rupees 30 crore worth of goods already manufactured and ready for shipment. This includes the FG and FG inventory. Another rupees 60 to 70 crore under production, including some engine stands orders, giving stable prospects for this quarter. Before I hand over to Ram, I would reiterate our long-term vision remains intact despite facing periods of near-term volatility, with our strategic direction unchanged to build Unimec into a globally competitive high-precision manufacturing platform across aerospace and defense, energy, industrial and emerging technologies. We are even more constructively optimistic, supported by tariff normalization, FTWZ operationalization, precision segment steadiness, healthy nuclear order inflows, new customer qualifications translating into meaningful revenues. With that, I will now hand over to Ram to walk you through the financial performance. Thank you.
Thank you, Anil. Good morning, everyone. This is Ram Krishna, CFO, Full-Time Director. Let me take you through our financial performance for Q3 FY26 and share our perspective on the outlook. Before talking about the numbers, I want to briefly touch upon the recent external developments and how they position us going forward. Tariff pressure, which have been a significant drag through most of this year, have now eased with the recent reduction in cross-country tariff rates. We expect that this shift to meaningfully improve the operating environment and restore the momentum we had anticipated at the start of the year. We also foresee a gradual release of deferred demand and a pickup in order execution as customers start building inventories. This aligns with the structural multi-year expansions of all global aerospace industry. Additionally, ongoing US-India, EU-India trade discussions are evolving favorably, and we see these bilateral arrangements strengthening long-term market access for Indian aerospace suppliers. Overall, these changes reinforce our confidence in a stronger operating trajectory ahead. Coming to financial performance, revenue-wise, Q3 FY26 revenue stood at 34 crores compared with 61 crores in Q2. Taking YTD revenue to 159 crores. The sequential decline primarily reflects, as Anil mentioned, deferred customer offtake, inventory rationalization as key customers, seasonal execution delays. Our aero tooling segment contributed 77% of revenue over the 9 months period, and remaining being precision component segment. With regard to margins, despite a soft quarter, gross margins remain strong at 71% for Q3 and 68% YTD level, underscoring the resilience of our cost structure. Subcontracting costs were elevated this quarter at 7.3%, but this is largely a function of lower revenue absorption. Importantly, YTD subcontracting costs improved to 6.8%, reflecting sustained internal efficiency gain. EBITDA margins came in at 4.6% for Q3 and 25% for 9 months period. We expect the margins to improve meaningfully by year-end as revenue normalizes. Breaking down cost dynamics further, employee costs were maintained at 12 crores versus 13 crores last quarter, supported by tighter workforce planning and controlled hiring. Other expenses remained stable at 10 crores, reflecting continued cost discipline. Depreciation rose to 6.9 crores versus 6.3 crores in Q2 due to capitalization of 4 new machines and additional write-off use charges from the expanded facilities. Finance cost increased marginally to 1.6 crores on account of higher working capital usage during this quarter. Net profit stood at 2.4 crores for the quarter and 37 crores at the YTD level, impacted by lower revenue absorption on a largely fixed cost base. I want to emphasize that we consciously maintained operational readiness and full capacity rather than cutting costs in anticipation of normalization, something that is now beginning to reflect in the macro environment. With regard to working capital, as indicated earlier, working capital consumption continues to rise in line with our manufacturing model and customer schedules. The usage of working capital bank limit increased to 70 crores compared with 50 crores in Q2 as we continue to production despite slower order pickups. Looking ahead, we expect working capital requirement to stabilize in the 150 to 160 days range, which is appropriate for the scale and the nature of our business. Coming to assets and capacity utilization for the quarter was around 50% with the annualized machines availability exceeding 7 lakh hours. Our ongoing capacity additions are strategic and future-oriented, enabling us to transition towards higher-value assemblies and more complex component manufacturing. FAI's progress remains encouraging, and utilization is expected to improve steadily as demand picks up and precision component business started progressing meaningfully. Fixed asset turnover for Q3 stood at 1.4 times, reflecting lower utilization in this quarter. Coming to new joint venture in Saudi Arabia, as I mentioned during the quarter, we formally established Kanu Unimic JV, a capital-disciplined platform designed to scale in a high-demand energy ecosystem. couple of key highlights of this JV is Unimeg is going to have 51% stake in this JV. An investment of $30 billion will be deployed by two JV partners in phases across 3 years to match demand and utilization. The investment in predominantly asset-backed with advanced CNC capacity and certified processes, enabling strong asset productivity and operating leverage. We are targeting $30 million revenue by year 5, supported by 35% EBITDA margin and 20% PAT margin, consistent with the high precision nature of the business. The venture is expected to achieve operational breakeven by year 3. From a capital efficiency standpoint, this JV enhances medium-term ROC potential and diversifies our geographical and sectoral exposure. Coming to outlook, with tariffs now addressed and demand gradually improving, Q4 FY26 is expected to show recovery, with a deeper order pickup expected to towards the end of the quarter. The order intake has already picked up and our order position as of now is 210 crores, highest ever in Unimeg history. This helps in building higher revenue for this Q4 26. The operationalization of FTW facility will materially enhance deliveries and improve revenue realization. Regarding revenue, we are expecting a decent business in the coming quarter, as Anil mentioned, and targeting to surpass the revenue of last year, 240 crores. Overall, year-end margins level are expected to touch at EBITDA 25% and PAT 25% level. While near-term recovery remains gradual, our medium-term outlook is significantly strengthened. We expect FY27 to make a return to structurally higher growth and improved financial performance. To conclude, temporary volatility does not alter long-term fundamentals or the scalability of Unimeg business model. So with that, I'll hand over to Rajini for the strategic greenfield and inorganic growth updates. Thank you.
Thank you, Ram. Good morning, everyone. Let me briefly update you on our strategic initiatives and inorganic growth progress. Our inorganic strategy continues to be disciplined and capability-led. We are evaluating a strong pipeline of precision manufacturing and advanced engineering opportunities across India, the Middle East, Europe, and the United States. Our filters remain consistent: technology strength, operating synergies, margin quality, cultural fit, and clear long-term value creation. The focus remains on strategic fit and scalability rather than only size. A key development this quarter is the formation of our strategic joint venture in Saudi Arabia with Yusuf bin Ahmad Kanu to build an advanced precision machining and remanufacturing platform in Dammam. This gives us a locally anchored manufacturing base in a priority market aligned with localization and industrial development programs. The platform is being built in a phased manner and is designed to scale with customer qualifications and demand. Beyond near-term revenues, this JV is strategically important as a regional energy sector manufacturing hub and a foundation for future expansion. Coming to DEA Technologies, where we increased our stake last quarter to 30% from 16%. Progress continues to be encouraging, progressing towards early commercialization and scalability. Some key technical milestones that I want to call out includes high-speed micro gas turbine demonstrations, achieving bench test for 65,000 rotations per minute for DET-500, and continued advancement in hydrogen and propulsion programs, garnering interest from NMRL, gaining high functionality and durability for hydrogen anode blower. This positions us well towards certification and production. The hydrogen anode blower and micro turbine platforms are seeing growing customer and defense sector interest. With qualification and testing underway and initial orders in place, these solutions are positioned as indigenous alternatives to imported systems. Our exclusive manufacturing arrangement with DEA's microgas turbines and subsystem position us well to participate as these programs move into certified production. Overall, our inorganic agenda is advancing across strategic JVs technology investments, and selective acquisition opportunities. We remain focused on disciplined execution and will keep the market updated as these initiatives translate into tangible milestones. Operator, we can now open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Keyur Kumar with Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning.
Yeah.
Hello.
Morning.
Am I audible?
Yes.
Thank you for the opportunity. My question is related to the order book. Right now, we have mentioned that 210 crore of total order books. So excluding the nuclear one, can you tell us the split of 142 crore order?
Yes, Keyur, rightly understood. So 210 crore order book includes the nuclear order.
Yes.
Which is a 68 crore.
Yes. Sure. Can you tell the split of 142 remaining order book?
So primarily it includes the tooling business. Small portion will be precision.
Okay. And on the means like around the Q1, we have mentioned that we are already in discussion with the semiconductor space. So like at what stage right now we are, and means and how many quarter we expect those kind of results in our financials also?
Okay, well, this is Rajnikant speaking. So as part of the new, as the semiconductor business, we are in the process of getting qualified on FAI, and we do see 52 weeks of, order visibility, with a firm order of about 3 months. And what we are doing is that we are adding more and more FAIs. As we speak, we are also qualifying additional FAIs, and we have conversations with our customer to do more. So from a quantum perspective, for the qualified ones, that is already qualified ones, we're looking at about $0.5 million in the next year. But, we are looking at adding more. But, the way you should see this is that this basically gets us an entry into high volume manufacturing for a semiconductor market, and that basically opens door to this market.
Okay. And so right now I have seen in our investor presentations, we have both different like precision and the aerotooling. So in future, are we focusing on the precision part majorly or the aerotooling like MRO side only?
Good question. We are focusing on both. We continue to basically look at both aero tooling as well as the precision segment. As you see, there has been a lot of investment done on precision segment that we are also focusing on, including nuclear. So we will be focusing on all this and trying to capture more.
Okay. And last question from my side. Q1 or Q2, we have mentioned that after securing the nuclear order in FY26, we won't be bidding for the further order. So is that same position apply right now, or we will be bidding for the next upcoming also?
Keval, so the bid will continue to happen. What we had tried to indicate is after a substantial order intake, we'll consider to take a pause for a moment to continue because those orders we'll also have to fulfill by through delivery. Once we have continued the scale up and the production order goes through, we will continue to keep building. There is a good opportunity pipeline in the nuclear space that we are addressing and eyeing for. And we'll continue to have that order bidding process throughout.
So in summary, Kemal, we will continue to look at bidding because I don't believe that we've come to a point where, you know, we can't digest. We are hungry for more.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Gautam with Leo Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. My first question is on which are the other Indian manufacturers that we would be competing with, and how large would they be in terms of revenue and product range in relative to us?
Which segment are you talking about?
For both the aero-tooling and precision segments.
Okay, from a aero-tooling standpoint, we don't believe there are much competitors in India. This is something that we've told from the beginning. We will continue to work and compete with the Western companies. On precision, there are several, you know, manufacturers in the fray. We will continue to work with them. We've even worked on, you know, talking to them and, you know, looking at potential collaboration opportunities. On the nuclear side, there are a handful of people that, you know, some publicly listed, some not. And those we will continue to basically work with.
So is there any names that you could give for these two, three segments that you have mentioned?
For the tooling, like I said, nobody in India.
I will just add on to this. For tooling, there are might be smaller players, but not that we can count off. In the nuclear space, though, as Mr. Rajni mentioned, we do see some players. If I should say, MTAR can be one of those, being the listed player. And then there are certain players in the unlisted space also. And precision segment, you see, it's a wide industry. So there are various components that we'll be addressing and manufacturing. So it can be a wide space to compete with.
All right. And okay, thank you. And my second question is on, are we the suppliers for Indian defense programs to aerospace industry? And how large is this business for us? And in that, who do we compete with?
Even though that's our aspiration to be into, sorry, Gautam, that's our aspiration to be into, but as of now, we are not present, but we are continue to explore all these opportunities.
So, Gautam, while the Indian defense is an entry point that we are basically looking at, and, you know, there are few that we are actually working on, there is some, you know, Israeli defense firms that we work with as well. Currently, our defense offering is a small one, but we see there are multiple opportunities. We are looking at tenders and stuff, and we are slowly increasing position.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you are requested to limit your questions to two per participant. The next question comes from the line of Aniket Madhwani with Step Trade Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, I'm audible?
Yes.
Yeah, so I just want the clarification on the outstanding order book. So, am I right? Have you mentioned 210 crores order book is the
yes,
outstanding? Okay, so as per your last guidance, you will be crossing around 300 odd crores in FY26. So are you in line with the guidance, or is there any deviation in previous guidance?
I'll just give you, that was an aspirational number that we have targeted. It's always good to have aspirations, and we'll continue to work towards it. This quarter, what you have seen is one of the best quarters in terms of order intake also, and where we are standing right now is a 210 crore order book. We were talking about nuclear orders also to be incoming, and this is what we have started to receive. So it's a good, meaningful traction that has been built over the period what we were talking about, and we have come to a good scale. Having said that, though the target is to grow our order book to a substantially higher level, but we'll see and keep the market informed as and when our order book grows and whatever order intakes comes in.
So Aniket, I think your question was more of how are we going to hit the forecast of 300 crores? Is that your question?
Yeah.
Okay. So what we'll need to remember is that the context that we basically, you know, called out this forecast was a very different context compared to the context that we were living in this whole year, especially with the U.S. tariff. Now, while that has been lifted and we see more, you know, we feel a lot more positive, we have another, you know, 45 days to go, and we don't think, you know, that kind of a number is something that we will be able to do it. However, as Anil basically told you, we are looking at about 90 to 100 crore this quarter.
Okay. What was the major reason? I mean, I can see here, previously you have mentioned that you are expecting around 100 to 1,000 crores in Q3 and Q4. So, till date, you have only received around 200 odd crores of orders. So, what challenges the company is facing to now get the orders?
Aniket, so there was an indication on how the bidding process has happened and to what contract that we had bid for. So while we indicated previously that we had bid for close around 800 crores worth of orders in the nuclear space, that was an indication that we have given, and we were optimistic on the fact that we will be able to qualify at least 20% to 30% of that order bid. But as you are aware, the bidding process is in our hand, but the order qualification or the intake is not that we can call out always. And hence, in that line, we have received some orders, continuing to the fact that what we were trying to get into this space with. That is number one. Subsequently, as what Mr. Rajnikant also mentioned, given this year has been challenging in terms of tariffs, so anything on the tooling side was challenging for quite part of the year, which has now been resolved. And as we have been talking about, the first 12 days of February itself has reflected in a good order inflow. With that thing in place, we are still seeing a 200 crore order book, which is a decently placed order book as on now. And we'll continue to build. We have some more time for this order, for this year to end. We'll continue to add up orders as and when we receive. And to be precise and summarize this, there has been no further challenges that we think we'll be witnessing. Tooling business will continue to see a strong traction. In the NPCL or the nuclear business, we'll have to keep a patient view and we'll see and keep you informed as and when the orders comes through.
All right. So lastly, can I just bifurcate the business? I mean, I just want the bifurcation of your tooling business and other segments. So in terms of top line, I mean, how much have you received from your tooling business, and going forward, how much it will be increasing?
Okay, just to give a bifurcation on both the businesses, for this 9-month period, 77% was being contributed by the tooling, and this other part was coming from the precision component, which includes nuclear as well. In terms of order book bifurcation, as you see, 210 crore stands off as of today, out of which 68 crore is coming from nuclear. I should say 130, 135 odd crores from the tooling business, and balance whatever is left is coming from the precision business.
Okay, got it. And you will be maintaining your margin going forward, right, after the clarification on
tariffs? On the gross margin levels, yes, we are confident to maintain. This year, you might see a dip on the EBITDA margins and the PAT. But going forward, next financial year onwards, you will see a healthy growth.
It's a function of the capacity utilization. As you know, there's a lot more capacity that we basically deployed. And from a utilization standpoint, we are at around 50%. And as we increase capacity utilization, you will see the margin actually becoming better.
And when should we expect that to stable? I mean, in coming year, FY27?
Yes, in the next year.
All right, in the next year. Got it, yeah. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Bala Subramaniam with Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So earlier we mentioned free trade warehouse zone operations are expected from Q4 FY26. I think US also have been reduced the tariff from 50% to 18%. So I'm trying to understand like what is the tax or inverted duty chain benefit here compared to earlier round trip logistics model. Earlier we used to send Europe or Asia and then transfer the goods to US destinations. We could elaborate more on free trade of its own side. Yes, that is my first question.
Okay, Mr. Balasubramaniam. Oh, yeah. So free trade warehouse, as we mentioned, definitely, you know, even post tariff also, this is a good strategy, you know, that will support company like us who are dealing with the US, you know, while the strategy is like this. This free trade warehouse, you know, is going to be the logistics hub for my customers who want to move kind of significant portion of their US inventory, which is going to be consumed out of US, going to be, you know, kept in India, and from India, this is going to be shipped to various countries. However, the consumption that is going to be going to happen in US has to be shipped from India to US only, which will definitely attract, you know, the kind of tariff. Of course, not 50%, now it is 18%. So, from customer point of view, this logistic alignment will save them, one, the kind of, you know, even though it is a lower tariff at 18%, which they can save. Second thing, duration-wise, timeline-wise, you know, they can reduce the timelines. Third one, there could be, you know, potential logistics, you know, freight cost saving also would be there. So my top customers got convinced, and then, you know, they are, you know, kind of inclined to have this strategy in place. So free trade warehouse is, you know, the build-up is started. It is well progressed now, almost number job completion. We are waiting for, you know, approval from the ministry as well as local government, you know. So that is a kind of challenge as of now, but remaining all things under control.
If you want to add on to what Ram said, this, in addition to the tooling business, we are seeing customers from the Christian business also, you know, appreciating this free trade warehouse that we have, and that could potentially house all the FGs as we go. So we think that this is a very sound investment.
Okay, sir. So my last question, we did a capex of nearly 56 crores in 9 months. And the JV part, especially in Saudi JV, we had a commitment of $14.7 million. So this funding is expected through internal accruals, or we are planning to take any debt or any other arrangements? And secondly, in US, we are targeting some JV, especially in aerospace and defense. And if you could share what is the update on US JV side. Thank you.
Coming to the Saudi investment JV, so while overall investment is good with 30 million, 51% contribution comes from us. So we have a cash reserve of, you know, a good amount is there, which is earmarked for, you know, investment in greenfield as well as M&A. We are going to utilize from this fund. I don't think, you know, at this stage we need any kind of borrowings, you know, to fund this project. So we have, you know, internal money is sufficient. Coming to other joint ventures, you know, what you mentioned. So we are, you know, as a strategy, definitely we wanted to have a, you know, set up beyond, you know, India as Saudi we started, and maybe probably in the US or some other country definitely will happen. And discussions and, you know, the plans are already there, and, you know, at the appropriate time, we'll definitely will announce to the market.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Tahir Hyderabadwala with Gorbis Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, I have two, three questions. First, sir, I wanted to understand what is the role of our subsidiary, Inomat, because we are operating in the same segment and business model is also same. So what they are doing, that their scale is much larger than us and they are growing much faster than us, if you can throw some light on that.
Right. So when, you know, long ago when we applied for special economic zone approval, land allotment, no, so we have, you know, clearly bifurcated export business, you know, from the mix of global, you know, domestic and export. You know, we carved out the export business and formed a new entity to shoot for the SEZ requirement, and that's the reason a new entity formed. And even as of now, you know, our strategy is to remain focused on export business into this zone and domestic into, you know, the other entity. And this will continue for forever.
Okay, but the reason
you're seeing the difference in the numbers is because we are a 95% export business, and you'll see that, you know, much of this revenue actually flows into Inomec, which is a subsidiary.
Okay. Second question, sir, on the, if you can explain on the nuclear segment, like what do we do in the nuclear segment? And we have said that we have bidded in quarter two, we have bidded around 800 CR for the nuclear projects, nuclear segment. So if you can give us a bidding, winning rate or anything on that front.
Right. So in nuclear, we have been into nuclear business last 2-3.5 years. So we manufacture, you know, electromechanical subsystems for nuclear reactors. Largely, we are qualified for around, you know, kind of 10 kind of various subsystems to be qualified. So we have been participating in, you know, various tenders since last 8 months. Most of the things, you know, like, you know, we have some we won 68 crores as we mentioned, and some more are yet to open. And wherever, you know, we are not successful, mainly, you know, of course, government, you know, we L1 and L2 concepts are there, so which is not in our control. So, however, Unimec has, you know, always, you know, the philosophy and margins, certain threshold margins below we cannot quote. So wherever, whichever the projects are, you know, kind of high margin yield or decent margin yield, you know, such projects only we'll quote. Or, you know, wherever we quote, you know, we wanted to make decent profits. So even if it be, we are not able to win, that's okay. But, you know, the ECC is like, you know, good margin is always our, you know, DNA.
Manufacturing side, we have a total land bank of around 240,000 square feet area across 4 units. So if you can throw some light, where do we see capacity expansion going forward, or this plant will be sufficient for how much revenue generation, and when we see the capacity level to reach around 70-80%?
Sorry,
question, you could not hear it clearly. I have a question on the manufacturing side, manufacturing plant capacity side. Like, what is our revenue capacity to this current plant, which we have up around 243 square feet area? And when do you see capacity utilization between 70-80% kind of?
See, the right way to look at is not the facility size, but how much of the asset turnover that we can generate. So while we understand that there has been
lower utilization of the existing machinery setup. As on date, if you see the fixed asset investment, it is close to over 210 CR. Current asset turns is 1.4 times. And this is because of a primary reason that this year has not been, this year's performance has not been to what we had expected because of tariffs. Going ahead, we had taken a target to increase this asset turns to over a 3 times. Now, when we move that up and further investment is also anticipated, you can understand close to around 40-50 CR investment will also be added up to the existing gross block. And with that, the target will be to have a 3 times asset turns.
Okay, sir. One last question,
sir. Mr. Thayer, I'm sorry to interrupt. I would request you to please come back in the queue for further questions. Yeah.
Oh.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Nishad Desai with RRR Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good morning. So I have two questions. My first question is that we produce more than around 4,500 plus SKUs. So what impact could that have, could this many SKUs have in terms of our scalability?
So we basically built systems in place, which is, digital nature that from a scalability, we're not really concerned. We've actually increased capacity. We've built digital systems. We want to scale. We don't think the number of SKUs will affect scalability in any kind of negative way. In fact, it's going to be positive that way my utilization gets better, and we are looking at increasing this SKU number.
Okay, got it, sir. So secondly, we are actively diversifying into energy sector, even semiconductor as well. So what exactly is the thought process behind it? Because the aerospace opportunity in front of us is extremely massive. So this diversification, like, how is it a better idea rather than trying to migrate upwards of the value chain in terms of the aerospace sector itself?
So,
what's your name?
Nishal. Okay, Nishal. We've been through COVID, we've been through tariff regime, and one thing that has taught us is that while we will basically, push the throttle in the current industry, it has also taught us that diversification is the right strategy, whether it is industry, geography, so it is basically that thought process. And if you really look at it from a capability lens, all these industries are all fungible. And we are only going after the ones where we have the capability and we think that there is actually growth. I mean, you're seeing that there is a huge AI push where semiconductor is basically the shovel for the, gold rush. And similar, you're seeing that in energy as well, right? So we don't want to miss out. Having said that, it doesn't mean that, we are diluting our focus on aerospace. The aerospace focus continues. And we are actually, working with both tier ones, OEMs, and should hear something good down the quarters.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much. All the very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Darshit Shah with Nirvana Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. So my question pertains to the space. Currently almost around 70% plus of revenues come from tooling and predominantly from export side. And we hear a lot of tailwind happening in the Indian domestic aerospace sector. I mean, there are a lot of new programs coming up, new aircrafts going to be manufactured here. Also, after the FTAs, a lot of sourcing is going to be increased from domestic market. And since you said there are hardly any domestic players present in India, so how do you view this opportunity for the domestic segment ever tooling?
Okay. So
your question is relating to Unimech focusing on domestic side, each sector wise. First sector, you know, aero tooling, the old business vertical of Unimech. So aero tooling, the larger opportunity is out of, you know, India only. While the off late India, you know, opportunity, you know, started in terms of MRO sector, you know, it started. So such opportunities definitely, you know, are tapping our door, and you know, we are participating that. And going forward, when Indian MRO sector grows, definitely this is going to be a positive news for Unimech. That's first thing. Second thing, you know, with regard to precision components segment in for domestic business. While most of the OEM business is coming from overseas, the component side, system side, you know, the defense opportunity still is something untapped. You know, we are not, you know, seen the opportunity. This is something we started focusing on that. And if we find a proper entry into defense domestic, you know, this is definitely, you know, is going to add a lot, you know, give us bigger opportunity. And other nuclear side and energy side. Energy side, you know, our focus is mainly into nuclear, especially nuclear energy, especially only into domestic side. And overseas presence is yet to start. And other energy opportunities, which is oil and gas, you know, side, you know, is as of now, Saudi focus is there. Indian side, we haven't found any opportunity. So there is a mix of, you know, kind of domestic and, you know, exports and domestic tractions. We started seeing it at this stage, and the time passes, like, you know, we might find a better opportunity in the domestic as well as, you know, apart from the overseas side. So yeah, definitely if it comes, it's going to be good news for us.
Sure. And especially if you can, I know you said there is more opportunity in the export side of the, especially of the legacy business, that aerospace tooling. So, sir, can you tell us what's the kind of market opportunity both domestically and in exports for this segment? I mean, the market size for us to tap into. And secondly, you know, given that we are more, I mean, over the period, we'll more focus towards defense, but domestic business as well as MRO business being picked up in India, and also would the revenue mix kind of change from what we are currently at around 75% export to domestic? If you can highlight both these questions.
Good question. So the aero tooling market opportunity is, you know, kind of 2 billion, 2.5 billion kind of market share, and which is growing significantly over the year as aero industry is picking up, you know, at a global level, you know, adding more fleet and engine programs. While that side of the, you know, segment has, you know, a kind of decent growth, and which is a niche sector, especially tooling, and Unimech focus, you know, a dedicated focus will continue. But in addition to that, you know, as we have entered into precision component segment, which is a higher market, you know, size, which is more than, you know, 800 billion kind of market size, you know. So, which is you know, kind of, you know, segment which we have recently entered and having bigger opportunity. So, which is a kind of, that's how I think slowly, you know, kind of new vertical we have added and entering into the higher market segment side. With regard to energy side, I think energy is also equally bigger opportunity. So, kind of more than 500-600 billion kind of opportunity. So equally, it gives a good prospects, you know, for us to when we enter there.
Yes, sir. And on the revenue mix over the next 3 to 4 years, will
it, right, change? Good. So with regard to, yes, sorry. So with regard to revenue mix, you know, eventually the good part, you know, is we are not sticking to one segment, and we are, you know, slightly adding more segment, more vertical, and also slightly diversification is also happening. No, the revenue mix has to change, and for a good cause, you know, and over the 3 years, you know, the 77% aero tooling, you know, will become 65%, and 35%, you know, will become, you know, precision component, you know, in the next 3 years. Maybe 60-40 also can happen.
Okay, and the export domestic, would that also change, sir?
Yes, as of now, you know, 95% export, no, slowly, you know, domestic also will get added, you know, and we are, you know, kind of guessing 80-20% ratio in a 3 years time.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this will be our last question. It's from the line of Ayush Bhatnagar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. So my question is in regards to the ratio in which we are doing exports. So like what do we expect in future in terms of the percentage of exports going to US and to EU nations?
We started our business being an export-oriented unit, and that will continue to be a predominant part. As mentioned by Mr. Ram in his previous statement, going forward next year, you might see 80% to still be as export business for us, and the balance 20% will be from the domestic.
Okay, and in regards to that, how much percentage are we expecting from US exports and from other countries?
See, the target is to reduce the geographical exposure. We are predominant with US currently, but going forward, you will see a substantial reduction. It cannot be very firmly confirmed what will be the number. So as and when the business grows, you will see a reduction in the US market exposure.
So, okay, got
it. The guideline is to ensure that there is actually a balance and harmony. While having said that, if there's actually a business coming from, more business coming from US, we are not going to say no to.
Okay, got it. Thank you. And all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you, operator. Thank you everyone for your questions and your continued time and engagement with us. To summarize, while this quarter reflected the impact of temporary external headwinds, the situation has already begun to improve meaningfully with the recent tariff reduction and better customer sentiment. Our order book remains strong. Our strategic mitigants such as the FTWZ are nearing operational readiness, and our diversification across precision components, nuclear, and international markets is progressing steadily. What remains unchanged is our core strength with deep customer integration, high technical capability, and long qualification-driven relationships, which continue to give us confidence in the durability of the business model. We remain focused on discipline, execution in the coming quarter, converting our ready inventory and order pipeline into revenues, and building a stronger and more resilient Unimate for the long term. Thank you once again for your continued trust and support. We look forward to updating you in the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.